All right, it's time for Bob's favorite topic, which is decisions, decisions. You like this one, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do.
Bob's coming from the other side of the room.
You didn't have my mic on. Sorry, I was trying to get something. Yes, I do.
What were you getting?
Sheet of paper.
Well, one of the things I think that you questioned, Bob, and so did I when it was happening, was John Harbaugh and how he played those last couple minutes. So he's down, was it a 4th and 5 down by
yes.
the goal line?
And they're down by 5, 27-22.
And they have the 2-minute warning and all three timeouts left. So they could cut it to 27-25, which means you get the ball back. And
just need a field goal, not a touchdown.
You just need a field goal. Okay, so it was, let me make sure I have this. It was 4th and 5 from the 8-yard line. Mm-hmm. That's a long ways to go, and I agree with you about that. Their kicker, however, worries me a little bit.
He worries me a little bit.
He's out of the loop, at least he was yesterday. So I think I would have gone for the field goal. I do, and then tried to stop him, and then all you need is a field goal at the
right.
end.
Right, at least you have a better shot. If that doesn't work, which it didn't, although the Steelers then played a very conservative 3-and-out that allowed them to get the ball back.
Yeah.
So they were going to get the ball back, I felt, at some point. If they make it a field goal game, then all you got to do is, you know, reduce the amount of yardage you have to cover to set up what would be a game-winning attempt.
I'll tell you who made a hell of a play right before that. And these are a couple things that won't get talked about much, but that stood out to me anyway. After the Lively play, the very next play was a dump pass to Derrick Henry. And it looked like he was going to crash in real close to the first down, but Jabril Peppers came in and laid the lumber, Bob.
Yes, he did. I thought Patrick Queen, that's another guy we should talk about, because he was clearly having problems with his hip.
Yeah.
He was in a lot of pain, but he came back and played.
So, very gutsy.
A lot for that.
And then along comes Alex Highsmith and throws Henry down for a 3-yard loss, and he was a monster yesterday, Alex Highsmith. And then the Lamar incompletion. And the other play that nobody talked about, we never got a replay, and it was only one of the biggest plays of the whole game, was when the Steelers punted. When we leave for the commercial break, the Ravens are on like their own 43 right. or something. When we come back, they're like at their, 23?
Yeah, they got that penalty came in late, whatever it was, and made a huge difference in the way they had to operate.
So what happened? And why wouldn't they show that? I was just baffled. Like, they just lost 17 yards on that play. What is going on here?
I don't know. I still don't know. It was some block in the back of some sort, or it was a penalty that we didn't see. When they went to break, you had no idea it was coming out. You thought the Ravens were going to be, you know, almost at midfield with a chance to win the game.
And then Lamar handled the 2-minute drill just absolutely brutally.
Yeah, he doesn't look like the same Lamar. Not sure what it is, but it's not the same Lamar Jackson.
He got going big time in the second half, but I mean, would we be saying that, Bob, if the likely touchdown counts? Because they may put 30 on the board then. It's maybe a 30-27, and he has an unbelievable second half.
And listen, they did dominate the second half. The more it went on, the worse it got for the Steelers in terms of total yardage. They were at one point outgained in the third. I think they had, how many yards did the Steelers have in the third quarter? It wasn't much at all.
No, but they did score twice, did they not? In the third quarter, including they never score on that opening drive of the third quarter.
First quarter and third quarter. That's been missing, yes.
Well, they scored 10 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, but the yardage difference was pretty significant.
By the end, yeah. So was the number of plays run was ridiculous again by the end of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the 70s for the defense. That's why, you know, you got to give it up.
77 to 51.
And that's been a trend that has to change. You can't survive against good teams if you're going to give them that much opportunity.
I'll tell you what this defense does well is it has finished games on plays late, right? You think of some of the games this year, Bob? Jets, Minnesota. What else?
Yeah, I mean, there are plays to be made.
This one?
Indianapolis. What happened?
New England was the other one. So they have made some plays late. And if they have healthy players defensively, I think we started the show with a little bit of this. If Watt, Hayward, and Highsmith, for example, are healthy, and that's been an issue, let's be honest, especially late in seasons, that's another reason why there's at least an outside chance that the Steelers could make noise in the playoffs if they get there. Playoffs.
And it's about turning the ball over. When they do that, you know, they were good yesterday about not doing that. Steelers did not make a mistake from that point of view.
Well, TJ Watt didn't have a flashy stat game, but I thought he was a pretty consistent presence. I thought early on, you talk about laying the lumber, he hammered Henry a couple times.
Yeah, he had to go across the field to do it.
And I thought that dissuaded them from running the ball for a while. Don't you?
Yeah, I think originally it did. They didn't have anyone on him. They ran the ball to the left trying to keep away from him, but they still have to block him at some point. He was left to go, and he fought off whatever was there and made tackles.
All right, another decision, Bob. The scratching of Roman Wilson, the Roman candle got scratched. What do you think of that?
I guess not surprising, although I still would like to get more out of Roman Wilson. These guys that came in, the veterans, you know, they could, who knows, they may make one big play. I remember when Mike Williams got here last year, he made one big play, and it was a game-winning touchdown against Washington. So perhaps a guy like Thielen in his last leg before he retires can do that. Perhaps Marquez Valdez-Scantling can do it. But I still want to see Roman Wilson. I thought he had some pretty good route running going on, you know, in the last several games. Just not enough of it.
Are you buying all this that the veteran receivers, MVS and Thielen, made a big difference in practice, and Tony Romo was going on about some of their short routes, that they're more dependable than the other guys? Did you hear, Bob?
Well, Rogers thinks that was a big difference. How can I answer that? I haven't seen them do what they do. I mean, their presence is, they're good practice guys. And in order to be as successful as they both have been in their careers, they had to do that. So maybe that was something they needed. After Rogers called out somebody last week, we still don't know who, and then they came and sang happy birthday and brought a whole bunch of film to his house.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. In the end, Bob, it feels like the two big stories are Tomlin and Rodgers, right? Tomlin under more fire, coming off as you know, hot a week as he's ever had in this town. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And Rodgers coming off a week where, as I said earlier, he looked older than Dick Van Dyke against the Bills. Dick Van Dyke with a broken wrist. He came out with fire yesterday. He really did. And in many ways, that won them the game, is the fact that they had a quarterback who, A, played well, and B, was fiery and highly competitive and making smart decisions. They had a quarterback yesterday. That makes a difference.
And that's why Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and the Steelers in general wanted a guy like that for these kinds of games. And I think, you know, given what he was battling, given the injury, how he got banged up last week, came right back, and he was the leader of that. And I give him a lot of credit because he had fire in his eyes. There's no question about it. You could tell when he got after the coaching staff for not moving quickly to the line of scrimmage to protect a call that was certainly not in their favor. And they could have got away with it if they moved faster. They didn't. He was upset about that. He knows everything. The one thing I like about him, too, is if those post-game press conferences are highly entertaining and highly informative. He's not afraid of calling people out and then going back and say, but I like his attitude, but you got to do better than that. He can do that because he's been around, because he's a four-time NFL MVP. And I think that does have an impact on their team.
Let's hear some Rodgers clips from after the game limits, and Bob and I may riff on them.
Yeah, Aaron really wanted to talk after the game. There's a couple of longer clips. Here's what he had to say about the confidence that he had hitting the first big throw to DK on the first play.
Yeah, we did it against Cincinnati as well on the first third down. It wasn't the first play of the game, but I just like Art's kind of focus. He wanted to be aggressive throwing the ball. You know, and I knew it was going to be a lot of different guys. But once DK got going, I just kind of had to keep feeding him, and he had a couple huge plays. And the Lions, you know, in the second half, we've kind of sucked the first possession of the second half coming out. And, you know, to start off with a extended pass play, and then DK to keep working and keep working and keep working and have a big play, get us down there, get a field goal, and go down and score a touchdown. That was two good drives for us to start the half.
Bob, that's their $150 million guy, DK Metcalf, season high. What was it, 12 or 16 targets? I can't remember. What. I think it was 12.
Yeah, 7 receptions, 12 targets, I believe, yeah.
First play of the game and first play of the second half, they go down the field. The first play of the game is just a phenomenal throw. It went 52 yards in the air and dropped between two defenders. Now, if that gets intercepted or knocked away, people are yelling, saying, why are you forcing the ball to him? Because you paid him that money. What was it, the Seattle game or the Cincy? I think the game in Cincy where everybody was whining about the throw that got picked off to DK. Either you want them to force it downfield sometimes or you don't. I'd prefer that they do once in a while because that's why they paid this guy.
Yeah, and he can still do it. I mean, his arm is lively. And not only that, you can get the calls. You know, the way they throw flags anymore, it doesn't take much to get a call. It could be a huge spot foul, which results in yardage. So I wish they did more of it. I'm glad to see they went down the field. I'd like to see more involvement of the tight ends over the middle of the field. But that's a big part of what they need to do to, I think, unlock the run game a little bit more as well.
Limits?
Joe, I would like to tell you what time it is. 12:21, which is time to check out 9 Yards Golf Lounge, which is now open at the Clock Northway in Ross Township.
It's a great place. They're having a grand opening this coming weekend, the 9 Yards Golf Lounge.
Well, Bob, sometimes when you get older, you have some better days than others.
Oh, you don't have to tell me that.
At least that's how Aaron feels.
Yeah, I mean, some games you feel better than others. I was just telling the lineman, you'll understand this when you're 40. You know, some days you feel better than others. Wake up and there's no specific reason why, you know. Thinking like, what did I do last night? Did I sleep wrong or whatever? But some days you feel great. Other days you feel maybe just good. Today I felt great. Maybe because it got such a beautiful grass field. But I felt good moving around there. And then to be able to run in a touchdown, it's been a long time there. That was in no way the play at all. It was a play to Jonnu, and the whole left side just caved in. I started running and realized I had two larger humans chasing me that I maybe was equal to or slightly faster than. So that was nice to get in the end zone.
Those Ravens linemen were the two slowest people I've ever seen, and I've seen Harry Callis run, Bob. Did you see those guys chasing him?
Well, they're not supposed to do that. That's not what they do.
I know. I mean, I know.
And Rodgers was smart to pick it out and say, okay, I can outrun them at least. And he's right about getting older. You wake up sometimes and you just don't know why you feel the way you feel. Wait till he turns 60 or beyond.
Next.
This is what Rodgers had to say about the haters in the media coming at them.
What does it mean to get a win like this after the week that you guys have had and the week that kind of makes all of this happen?
Means maybe you guys will shut the hell up for a week.
No such luck, Bob.
I mean, it is what it is. It happens in sports. It happens to everybody. If you're a coach, you're going to hear that. I mean, what does he expect to happen? In terms of fans, I mean,
exactly.
Well, fans are going to do whatever they want to do.
Well, he's not talking about the fans there. He's talking about the media. And like I said earlier, I think that those guys all believe that we are completely influential over fans. And I believe that probably more than ever in the history of sports, that fans, you know, don't depend on media to form opinions. They have every tool available with stats and with everything
social
else.
Social media and anything else they want to call up, they can make their own determination.
Right. And yeah. In fact, definitely accuse the Pittsburgh media of not going after Tomlin or maybe Rodgers or the Steelers in general enough. So, they're not going to get anybody to shut up until they win a playoff game, media or fans. Win a playoff game. At least compete in one. How about that?
Well, they're going to get their chance, I think, this year. Their chances of winning this division went up substantially with that game yesterday. And they can go the other way as well as time goes on. But they just got to take care of business. And if they do, they'll get a chance as a fourth seed, home field.
Yeah, I think they're going to play Buffalo is what I think.
Do you like that matchup? I mean, Josh Allen always is. We saw yesterday what a difference maker he can be. Broken plays, how he turns negatives into positives, and he does it better than anyone in the game right now.
Yeah, it's a beatable team, but last matchup didn't bode well, but it's definitely a beatable. That's my whole point about the AFC. New England, Jacksonville, and Denver rule the AFC. Would you be, like, frightened of those teams going into
those
a playoff
game?
Those
teams have struggled at times. Like yesterday, Denver and the Raiders, that wasn't an obvious. You know, if they play down, you can argue they play down to the competition. Their defense is good. I will grant you that. And the defense can
Drake May is a great player for New England. Right. He's a great player. And Jacksonville's come
together.
They're
all beatable.
Very beatable. You have to be glad that you might not see Mahomes. There won't be any Lamar like last year. The Bills have been diminished a little bit. They got kind of lucky themselves yesterday. Crowley, by the way, texts and says, Rodgers didn't have that ball. You're right, he says to me, Bob, which means he thinks you and Limits are wrong.
Again, I'm only going by what the rule is and what they saw, because they went back and looked at that play.
Who cares what they saw? They're wrong. You're not going by that on the likely one. You said the likely one they got wrong.
No, I didn't. I said they got it right by letter of the law, but the rule should be changed. I thought that was a touchdown based on what I saw. When you look at the rule and how it's written out, I understand why they made the call they made. I just think it's too convoluted. It's too long to go back into that. That's a discussion that has to be held by the competition committee at the end of the year. I think they really have to look at that kind of stuff.
I'm just glad a man of Adam Crowley's clout, or Crowley's clout, I don't know how I said that, is agreeing with me. I'm just glad about that, Bob, because Rodgers never did have the ball. Never did.
Well, I can't say anything else because I'm going to disagree with that. And I already have.
And you will again. 412-928-9370. Let's hear from one more Rodgers clip, Limits, if you have.
Aaron is very high on practice, guys. He's like AI.
Practice.
Practice. We're talking practice.
Not the game.
Well, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's all about practice. You know, when you go out there and execute in practice like we did this week, it gives you the confidence to be able to make some of those plays. And I thought it was our most crisp week of preparation on the field. I think off the field we've been really good, but I thought the energy was good. Not a big believer in coincidences, so I got to think that just Marquez and Adam out there, you know, made a difference from a professionalism standpoint. Not saying those other guys don't have professionalism. I love Gal and Roman and all of our other guys, but I just think there was an extra level of focus this week. And you know, then Art wanted to be aggressive on the first play. You know, as you guys were talking about, we hadn't completed a pass, you know, over 20 yards in a while. And took a shot. DK got it, and then he was kind of on one. But he was on one in practice on Thursday, and then he was on one in practice on Friday. So love that from our guy. I think he even ran down on a punt. So proud of DK.
Man, that was something. That who was hurt?
It was Skoranek was hurt, so they needed someone. And
go look.
They'll take volunteers in that case, and he was a volunteer. He said, "I will go out there and do it."
Not hostages.
That I give him a lot of credit for
me
that.
Me too. Me too. That was something to see him run down there against a double team as a gunner, and also he wound up staying in Baltimore. And was having stomach pains on the plane, and according to the Post-Gazette, was on his way back, I guess, this morning. Is that right, Limits?
Yes. Yeah, he is coming back today. Not sure what the plane travel is, but he is coming back to Pittsburgh today, if not already back.
That was a great performance yesterday by Metcalf. It was, in the biggest game of the year.
And he had to be big, because that's why they brought him here, to be big in those kinds of games. And he's a mismatch when he goes down the field, and they took advantage of it.
Now, Rodgers talking about, again, you guys saying we haven't had a pass, really a pass, in a month. I mean, I hope they were talking about it too, Bob.
I'm sure they were. They had to unlock that part of the game. By hearing it more, you know, maybe that drove them to that decision in that game.
It's just a necessary part of the game. It's like three-pointers in basketball. Like splash plays in your pass game are the equalizer. You know, they usually lead to points. They can make up for a non-existent running game. Not that I've ever seen one of those. And they prevent you from having to go 19 plays like they did on a couple drives in Chicago. Those are nice drives. They're very difficult to come by when you're going up the field piecemeal and you need everything to go right and nothing to throw you off track and you're going 16 plays. It's just not going to happen that often. You need to have splash in your pass game. You have to have it. And as we mentioned earlier, I'm not sure that this is for real, if this was a flicker or we got a flame going here, because I remember Ben's game against Indy, late stage Ben. Mm-hmm. Hadn't thrown a decent like downfield pass in weeks. And suddenly, the 11-0 year, 2020, suddenly in the second half, they get it going against the Colts, and he goes for like 250 in the second half. And then it just died in all the games after that. It was just like a brief flickering is what it was, Bob. And that's what you get a lot of times with players late in their careers. They recapture something for a half or a quarter or a couple plays, but it's not sustainable. That's what I'm wondering about. But as I also said earlier, I'm glad we're having that conversation today. Can this continue? I didn't think this was going to happen yesterday, and it did.
And it did. And at least you got to keep trying. You got to keep it so that the defense understands that's possible down the field. They're going to look that way. And you can also sequence off of that by having Metcalf go on a go route and then just do some stuff underneath that clears some way for somebody else. And I'm still waiting to see that. I want to see those guys take advantage of yak yard opportunities, because Rodgers is very good about putting the ball right on the money when he gets time, and he will give you the chance to run after the catch. And I think they need more of that as well.
412-928-9370. We're going to follow along with Ray Fittipaldi's report card. We're going to do a little trip around the league. All of this coming up. Get back to your calls. For one night only, on Wednesday, December 17th, our Odyssey Pittsburgh stations, The Fan, 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDKA, 100.7 The Star, WAMO 107.3 and Y108. We'll be flipping the turntables and turning Mike's Beer Bar into the biggest Christmas karaoke spot on the North Shore. Our on-air hosts, local celebrities, take the mic for celebrity karaoke. There's no admission cost, but bring canned food donations to support North Hills Cares. Details at 937thefan.com. Bob, are you going to sing that night at all?
No, I got to work. I will be on TV.
Call in sick.
Can't call in sick.
And Joe, there is some news that has just came across my desk about the show for Friday.
You mean Wednesday?
Join Pomp and Joe on a Donnie Football Friday this Friday, December 12th, live at Baseball Card Castle in Granbury.
Oh, Bob.
And Bob, a little birdie tells me that I will also be there on site as the remote producer. How about that,
Bob?
How
about
Bob?
That? Bob? I wish I could be there. I can't be there.
Why? Where are you going to be?
On Friday, I can't do
call
it. I can't call in sick. But that's a great place. And the general will roll out the red carpet, I'm sure.
No, the general always
does. It's a great place. It really is. And those of you, and there's so many involved with cards and collections, and you got to go there to check it out.
And we are asking that you please bring non-perishable food items to be donated to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and say hi to the guys. Details, 937thefan.com. How about that?
I always say walking into that place is like walking back into my childhood, Bob. It's like... It's just
and some parts of you forget about your childhood, and then you say, oh, I remember this guy. And all of a sudden there's a card or some sort of memorabilia there.
Right.
It's really great.
It's not just cards, although there's literally millions of cards, literally millions, because he has, you know, warehouse, I think, behind the shop and things like that. It's phenomenal. But every kind of memorabilia you can imagine, from bats to sticks and pucks and basketballs and like the
photographs,
the Masters flag that you have from Tiger, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got flags from golf tournaments and autograph this and autograph that. Books all over the place. Sports books. What a place, Bob. What a place.
It is. I'm sorry I'm going to miss it, but give my regards to the general.
Call in sick, Bob.
I can't. They would know that I'm not sick if I'm on the radio.
No, that's actually a good point. Is there any chance you could come down with the sickness between the show and your other work?
It sounds like it would be premeditated, and that's even worse.
Before publicizing it right now, I don't think that's the best idea, Bob.
Yeah, you're probably right. Let's go with the report card next. We'll follow along with Professor Fittipaldi and give our own grades. Myself, Bob, and the newly mustachioed Limits. Do you like the mustache, Bob?
I actually do.
Should I keep it?
Yes.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, I do.
No, it makes you look older, which I think you need.
And lends Bob, a little air of mystery to your personality.
Bob, I have a real problem on my hands that I'm a little concerned about.
Mm.
You see my hair right now, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
How can he not?
I was looking at the side of it, and I feel like I have a very, very small receding hairline on the side.
It will increase in time.
And I'm very scared.
And it will increase in time.
I'm very scared.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Make the most of it now, Limits.
Like, my parents all have a great set of hair, and my grandparents as well. But I'm starting to get worried for myself, Bob, and I feel like I need to call the doctor to make sure there's nothing wrong with me.
No, you're
What if
fine.
There's like a serious problem with like my head?
Why are you even coming to that conclusion? That's called unnecessary stress on yourself for
I
no
know
reason.
That, but and I've been told not to stress about it, but maybe I should call the doctor. I'm worried, Bob.
I think you're going to be balder than Mulsey in
it's
10
like,
years.
It's probably like the smallest of like a centimeter, like a millimeter, that is different than like a year ago, but it's making me scared.
It's only going to get worse.
What do you mean it's going to get worse?
That's what happens. You lose hair in the recession.
Older it's every just day
receding hairlines. It's part of getting older.
What would Malzy look like if he didn't shave his head?
Are you saying that I'm going to get bald?
Of course he is.
He did. I didn't say that.
Partially, yeah.
You think I'm going to be bald?
No, not fully.
But you will have receding on the, you know, on the...
We're talking 20 years limits. How old are you? 24?
Yeah.
Yeah, 44.
This is the prime of my life.
44, you'll be balder
and
than
Mr. Clean.
And the
mustache will help you in the prime of
your
life.
No, I will not. How do I fix that, Bob? How do I make sure that's not the case? I can't be bald. I can't look like Malzy.
You're not even close.
No shot to Malzy.
Hair plugs. Bob, what would Malzy's hair look like if he didn't shave his head? Would he be have like a little bit of hair around the ears and then be completely bald?
Yeah, I haven't looked closely enough at his hairline, like where that would go. But maybe. Why did he elect to do that anyway? He didn't have to do that.
Well, I think just for that reason, he'd be bald, at least in the middle, without doing that.
Okay.
Would you look good bald?
I don't think, no. I don't think I would look good in a lot of different ways. So, I mean, it's...
been thinking about it.
Well, you're almost there, aren't you?
That's the thing. Exactly.
You look fine. You don't have... That's... Some people look naturally good that way. You don't have to put anything, you know, fake up there to do it.
I look horrible. I look like Shrek at the moment. I look like some
like
sort
Shrek.
Of ogre. What's ogre mean? Monster,
right?
Whatever
Shrek looks like. So I'm genuinely scared, Bob, and that is worried about me.
Who would look the worst? Who would be the worst bald look of the station hosts? Would Pony look good bald? I think he could actually pull it off bald and still with the goatee.
Crowley has a good hair. I'd like to see
horrible,
what that would
bald.
Look like. I would, but I like he has a good head of lettuce.
He does have a nice head of lettuce. Better than Limits?
So far equal, I think.
Texter, does Limits think that Bob is a follicle expert or something?
Yeah, why are you asking Bob all these follicle questions?
I don't know. I'm just scared.
I would be too.
I'm genuinely scared.
We'll hand
Joe,
out.
Joe, you're always scared. I'm scared.
We'll hand out grades next on Pomp and Joe. First, Bob. You have a message for the Pompulous. Bob, it sure looks like the Steelers, not just because they have a one-game lead, but because of the other factors that we've mentioned, because of the schedules and because of the tiebreakers, they have to win this division now, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they will? Because I sure do.
I do now, yeah. And just Baltimore looks broken to me. They look like they have so many holes. I mean, the way they played that Jaylen Warren 38-yard touchdown, they had guys wide open everywhere. It seems like they had no idea that was coming. They got more problems than I think they can overcome. So, and Cincinnati, by losing yesterday, was out of it. I thought when they were winning, if they had won that game,
yeah,
to be 5-8, then things
would have
been interesting because their schedule really lightens up compared to everybody else. But now that that's not happened, it's just Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and I see nothing from Baltimore that makes me think they're going to be able to overtake the Steelers, provided the Steelers do what they're supposed to do.
Well, not to mention, now Baltimore has to face Joe Burrow, Drake May, and Jordan Love before they come here. I mean, it's just, it seems highly, highly unlikely. And if it were to go to a tiebreaker, let's say Baltimore wins here at the end and ties the Steelers, you figure they're going to be tied, well, obviously in head-to-head, but tied in divisional record, which is the second tiebreaker. And so it will go to conference record, and the Steelers have a two-game lead there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in their favor. It's all right ahead of them. So all they have to do is take care of business.
Kabali has sent me a message that it's actually common opponents that is that third element.
He's wrong.
No, I think he's right. I think it's common opponents.
Are you sure about that?
I do think, yes, it's on their list.
I know it's on the list. I didn't think it was third. Now, see, now
this is why. This is why when you start getting these tiebreakers, like...
Yeah, he is right. He's right. My bad. See, that's what you get for reading things online, Limits.
I know. We've all been victim of that. Remember when Ron read that fake trade report?
Yes.
What was it? Like, the Steelers are traded Levi Wallace for... no.
All right. Then let's look at common games. Everything I said could be wrong here, Bob. What are the common games?
It's too long to figure that out.
I mean, it still could go to... I don't know what... Now,
this is why when the ACC... You know, when they got that deep in tiebreakers to have Duke in that championship game, and then the worst thing that could have happened to them was Duke won that game.
You know who I think I believed?
Or actually,
here?
It was good for Miami.
Yeah. I think I believed AI. Damn it. Now I feel like Ron.
That's why you have to really watch.
Are we all going to be taken up by AI at some point, Bob?
I guess. I mean, it's useful in many ways, but it's also, I don't know what to believe anymore. I really don't. I see things that look legitimately fine to me, but they're not. So,
Limits, can you figure out common games, please? You're the beat writer.
Sure.
I mean, do division games count in that, right, Bob? They would have presumably the same divisional record. Yes?
Yes. Those are common opponents, yes.
And then who else do they have in common? They have Buffalo. They both lost to Buffalo. They have, who else?
I'd have to look at the Ravens' schedule. I don't remember who they played. They still haven't played Green Bay. The Steelers lost to Green Bay. They can make up some ground there.
Well, if that's
and they
the
have
case,
to play New England, too.
That's right.
So those are two more common opponents upcoming.
All right, common opponents. You ready, Bob? Buffalo, they both lost. Cleveland, the Steelers have one win against Cleveland, and they still have to go to Cleveland, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and the Ravens are 2-0 against them.
Ravens are 2-0. Detroit, Baltimore lost. The Steelers still have to go there. Right, Bob?
In 2 weeks, yep.
Chicago, Ravens won, Steelers lost. Miami is going to happen this week. Baltimore already beat Miami. They already beat Minnesota. The Steelers beat Minnesota. They both beat the Jets. So I don't know what their records are common games-wise.
Well, it still has to play out, and we'll see over the next 4 weeks. That's going to be one of the tiebreakers. If it comes to the exact record, then and it'll be important. So it's too much yet to happen. But they're in control. The bottom line is the Steelers, if they win out, they're the champs. Four games left, win them, no problem. No tiebreakers necessary.
Hold on a second here. We're going to get to the report card in a minute. Did the Pirates make an offer to Kyle Schwarber? Is that true or untrue?
I don't know if it's true. We've heard so much of this. To me, it's about show me once it's signed, then I'll believe it. Because, you know, I've heard this before, and there were thoughts about, wasn't there a report by... was it Ken Rosenthal? No, it was Jeff Passan, and then later Ken Rosenthal came out and said it never happened.
When?
Who did they make an offer to, according to Passan? Remember they were talking about?
I don't know. Josh Naylor.
Josh Naylor. But...
And then he said, no, that never happened. So you hear this.
Well, Jason Mackey's reporting right now that they made an offer to Kyle Schwarber. A source confirmed the offer Monday. While the exact terms are not known, that would be interesting to know. It would undoubtedly shatter anything the Pirates have previously done in free agency. The problem comes with it actually happening, considering the fact that...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Considering the fact that Schwarber's market is not small and the Pirates are fighting an uphill battle with this stuff, says Mac.
Right, and quite frankly, for a guy who hit 50-plus home runs, for a guy who drove in 120-plus, I think the market's going to say you're worth more than $20 million a year or $25 million a year.
Well, it's one thing to make an offer, but... It's another, you know, they might have made him an offer he can refuse.
Yes, it looks like you made the offer, but it wasn't, and you knew it wasn't going to be enough. Again, I wish they would make offers. I'd love to see him here. I would. I'll take his 200 batting average. I'll take his low on-base percentage, but I will take the 50-some home runs and 120 runs batted in. Absolutely.
I don't know about that one. Obviously, I'd take him. I don't know about how I feel about this alleged offer. That's been made, this reported offer, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Unless you see the terms, you don't know.
Yeah, you could float anything out there and make it seem like you're interested, and they should be, but they should be legitimately interested. You got to pay the market, though, and the market is not that. I think the market is way above what they're potentially offering, which is $20 million a year, $25 million a year.
Meanwhile, we have the college football playoff, and all heck has broken loose there. Notre Dame AD Pete Bevacqua unloaded on the ACC, saying the conference that houses almost everything Fighting Irish sports team has caused, quote, permanent damage to their relationship. What has happened here? I realize they think they got snubbed, and they might have a case there, by the way, but he's upset with how the ACC pushed for Miami over Notre Dame leading up to the selections.
What are they supposed to do? Notre Dame is, they've chosen not to be involved as a conference member for everything. So therefore, and honestly,
exactly.
Miami beat Notre Dame. Bevacqua should have nothing to say about this because if you had beaten Miami, you would be in this playoff.
Yes. Let's rewind that for a second. They had Notre Dame ahead of Miami going into this last poll, and neither team played Saturday, and then they put Miami ahead of Notre Dame. How does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense.
So I was on Notre Dame's side, and now I'm not. If this guy's going to bitch and moan about the ACC, how about this, Notre Dame? Don't lose your first two games of the season and give up 68 points. Get out of here. Do you agree, Bob?
Yeah, I thought they overcame it. I actually thought Notre Dame should have gotten in. I thought Alabama should not have gotten in. Alabama lost three games. Yes, they played in their conference championship game, but they got smoked out of it. They weren't even competitive. They lost 28-7.
Yeah, but they also have some really good wins. Who's Notre Dame's biggest win?
Wait a minute. Alabama,
USC.
By virtue of being in that conference, they're going to have those, but they also lost to Florida State non-conference.
They also have really good wins. Who's Notre Dame's biggest win?
Probably USC. I have to look at the whole schedule.
Number 20 USC and number 22 Pitt.
See, this is
here's what I would say to Kurt Bivakwa. Remember him, Bob? Former
player. Baseball mustachioed man.
And everybody else involved with Notre Dame, don't lose to the two best teams on your schedule and give up 68 points in those two games. How about not do that? And then we'll hear your complaints. I'm done with them. I'm writing about them now for tomorrow, and I'm absolutely going to shred them.
And Bob, how shameful that Notre Dame of all places, decides to just take its ball and go home and no longer play in a bowl game. Yeah. Boo-hoo, Notre Dame.
They're not the only ones. Four other teams have joined them.
Right, but like, think about...
Nobody else is Notre Dame. He's right. They're taking their ball and going home.
Well,
they're saying, you're not going to get any of our revenue attached with us.
Even if you get to a bowl game, whatever that bowl game is, and I think Pitt has the same situation. How many players do you think want to play in that bowl game, and what would that do to your team?
They're doing this because they don't. They feel snubbed, and they want to snub it.
I understand.
Notre Dame could show up with a bunch of kids on campus with a backup team. And the fact that, that might even be draw more eyeballs. The fact that they're Notre Dame will have people watching will make that bowl game a big bowl game. And they're saying, you're not going to get that from us.
That's fine.
You screwed us over. This is what we're going to do to you.
I think the bowl games have been greatly hurt by all of this because the only ones that are going to matter other than the playoff. The rest of them don't matter.
Did the rest of them matter?
Well, for some kids, they still needed to go out and have good games.
Then they can still have that opportunity.
But they risk injury, and now you're going to see.
Don't play.
Let me ask you this. Pitt plays East Carolina,
Yeah.
In the Military Bowl.
Right.
And I love the Military Bowl because I'm a big fan of military people, what they do. That should be supported in and of itself. But if you're Pitt, do you really want to play Mason Heinschel in this or not?
Did you 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Wouldn't that same question apply?
Maybe, maybe not. Not as much as it is now, because you're talking about transfers. You're talking about money on the line. Mason Heinschel has a future that could be not in Pitt. If he plays and gets hurt, what happens to Mason Heinschel?
I would ask the same question 15 years ago.
But there's more reason to do it this year under these terms, because you can move to the next team immediately. Most of those guys were only looking at the NFL, nothing else. They weren't looking at, NIL money at Texas, maybe.
It was NIL the same when people like Christian McCaffrey sat out. That was still a fairly long time ago. And
largely agree that people should sit out of these games?
If they want, yeah. Why would they play? Because coaches make money?
Well,
play for the fans?
No, I would say you get practices. You get a lot more practices, and reps do help.
Then play next year's team.
I don't know. I just think it's a problem.
I think it always was. It's bigger now, you're right, because more people have wised up to why am I playing in the Pop-Tart Bowl, although that one's pretty popular this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More people have wised up to, they're all making, well, I guess they're making money now too, Bob. That's the thing. Should they write into these contracts that you have to play in bowl games?
I don't think they'll ever agree to that. First of all, they have to have unionized if that's going to happen, because I don't see it a widespread thing. I don't know where this is all headed. All I know is that if you're a player who thinks you can get paid next year by Mason Heinschel, what did he make this year, if anything? Probably not much. He was a third string when he started this whole process.
You know what? Miami beat Notre Dame.
That's why I said head-to-head matters.
I know.
That's why they don't have a case for me. If you had beaten – by the way, if you watched that Miami game as I did, they beat Notre Dame at the line of scrimmage quite a bit in that game. It was a closer score than what I thought really happened.
I have no sympathy for Notre Dame, and I did going into this because it's ridiculous that they were ahead of Miami. Neither team played, and now they're behind Miami. That makes zero sense. Nobody can rationalize that.
No.
Right?
Here's another part of this whole component. Do you agree that the way they have it set up now, the highest five rated conference champions get in, which this year included two teams that I don't think belong. And I say this all due respect, James Madison and Tulane should not be in this.
Yeah, I'm a proponent of the underdog. That's why I love the NCAA basketball tournament.
But this is not that.
The Notre Dame team that I saw come to Acrisure Stadium was half NFL. The fact that they're not playing for a national championship and Tulane and who else, James Madison. Are, is laughable.
It is. And I say that with respect for those teams, but Tulane lost to Ole Miss this year by 35 points, 5 touchdowns. And James Madison, I mean, they do what they got to do with their schedule, but, you know, what's the line? Hey, Austin, can you look at the lines on these games? Like, I want to know what the first...
We'll come back
now that we have the matchups.
It's a double-digit line.
They're going to be 21, 24-point lines. That tells you they don't belong.
I can take one to have two.
But two of them got in because the ACC didn't have anyone, and that's what Duke did to them. If Virginia had won that game, I think Virginia would have gotten a spot.
Well, what do you want Duke to do about it? Intentionally lose?
Nothing. It's just because they were so weak in a conference.
The conference stinks.
They had 5 losses and they're playing in the championship game.
Well, maybe
if
Notre Dame joined the conference, they'd be in now.
They would be in. If the Notre Dame, if you played in the ACC, you'd be in the playoff. Quit your crying. It's annoying. It's just so annoying. Notre Dame thinks that they're above everybody.
Too, Bob. I am annoyed by them.
Marcus Freeman, huge leader. Now we're going to take our ball. We're going to go.
But again, how dare you as a conference push Miami over us when they lost to Miami.
And we're not even in your conference for football.
To me, it's all head-to-head. Head-to-head matters.
Notre Dame, nothing.
I don't know where they have this whole thing stacked, but head-to-head should always be first and foremost. You play them, you lose. If it's a dead heat, the team that beats the other team wins. Simple as that.
That's Ray Fittipaldo's.
Convoluted with all this stuff.
I know. With the same thing with the catches in the NFL. Like, what's the easy answer for you then for the college football playoff?
For the college football playoff, 16 teams, number one.
Now you're asking some to have to win 4 games?
I don't care.
Well, they do, and they're not going to play.
They care? What are you talking about?
If I'm going to the NFL, I'm going to break my back over 4 playoff games?
Well, I mean, that's a component of even this. I'm sure a team that's playing in a national semifinals or quarterfinals may have the same problem now. So that horse is out the barn. If I'm going to do this fairly, I think 16 is a better number than 12.